Welcome to 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Today on the show, we've got Matt, 7898. Great conversation. We'll get to that. Got a lot to get through before we get to the interview, so let's hop into what's going on. Cross Keys Top 16. So we have most of the top eight already locked in. Wall Kicks versus Goomba. Wall Kicks went 2-0. So my prediction of Goomba versus Ramon last week, completely out the window. You don't want me to pick you in these tournaments because my predictions are always wrong. Gamachu 2-0 versus Willer J. Bradley. Wall Kicks versus Gamma in the top eight. Great matchup. Good friends with both of these guys. If I'm going to give the edge, and I'm sorry for doing this, Wally, I'm picking Wally. I'm gonna pick Wally. Love Gamma. Both the guys are awesome, but Wall Kicks is just so good at cross keys. So I'm going to take Wall Kicks there. Telethar versus Top Life, with Telethar going 2-1 over Top Life there. Illis 2-0 versus Breve. So we have Telethar versus Illis in the top eight. Illis, one of my favorite all-time runners. Back when I first started getting into the community, I volunteered as the SG Daily helper when the SG Daily races were pretty big. And there was a running joke that I'd always put Illis in the restream. It wasn't really a joke. I'd always want to put Illis in the restream because I really enjoy watching Illis run. Illis is another person I need to get on the show like as soon as possible. Telethar, honestly, I wouldn't have been able to tell you who Telethar was 6 months ago. But Telethar has just come and crushed, especially in entrance, and has just put up some really impressive results. I'd really actually like to talk to Telethar too and kind of hear his story and just talk about how quickly it seems that he's come and just started dominating. I'm sure there was work put into it, but really like to hear his story. So we have Telethar versus Illis. I can't pick against Illis. I'm going to go with Illis there. Had Humbug versus 2C, with Humbug taking it 2-1. Big fan of both of those runners. And then Ramond versus Artie Walsh, with Ramond taking that 2-1. So one of my picks is still alive. So we have Humbug versus Ramond in the top eight. Two runners that I just have so much respect for and are really good at this mode specifically. They're good at the game, but really good at entrance and cross keys. I can't pick against Ramond because I picked him in the finals, so I'm going to take Ramond there. But I wouldn't be surprised if Humbug won either. And then the final two matchups still needed to be determined. It's Zelga and CS Tutor are tied 1-1, and Schulzer's up 1-0 versus Megawatt. I'm going to take Zelga over Tutor. And as much as I want to pick Megawatt, I'm going to take Schulzer with the 1-0 lead over Megawatt. So we'll see what happens there. Kaz Boots tourney almost wrapped up. We had Gamachu over Chloe Prower and Bwayne over Hitzian. That puts Gamachu versus Bwayne in the top four. We've got Gem over GGW, which was a match that I did a commentary for with ClearMouse, the one and only ClearMouse. If you've got less than an hour to watch a race, this is the one to watch because it's a quick one, and it was a close one. It was a great match to watch. We had Jim over GGW, and we had Rob J. Beasley over Teto. So Jim versus Rob J. Beasley in the top four. Rob is another runner that I'm not really familiar with, but has done a lot of winning lately. I believe he does some NMG and has a good NMG time. Not 100% sure what his time is, but no, it's a pretty good one. I can't pick against Jim. Jim is just like the Kaz Boots master, so I'm going to take Jim there. So I have Jim in the finals. Do I pick Gamma or Bwayne? As much as I want to see Gamma in the finals, I'm going to take Bwayne and have Jim versus Bwayne in the finals. And I don't know, let's say Bwayne with the W. The Kaz Boots AD Keys tournament is starting. 112 runners. Good luck with that. The NFL is back, and I'm very, very happy. The first week of the NFL was excellent. The Seahawks, my team, played tonight against the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson. I'm sweating. But the first week was great because my team wasn't playing on Sunday. And I spent from 10 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. or whatever watching football. It was glorious. It was like one of my favorite days in a long time. Very happy NFL's back. All right. So on the show today, we've got Matt, 7898, one of my favorite runners. Just an awesome dude. Someone I really, really look up to and admire in the community. Just awesome dude. Super chill. Super good at the game, and there's no like drama. You never see Matt's name in any drama. He's just here to have a good time playing video games and be really good at it. So I really like that about Matt. Composed, he's really funny, as you'll see in the interview. He's so even keeled and just a really good dude. Like, I was really excited to do this one and really excited to hear his story and get to know him a little bit more. So yeah, let's not waste any time. Let's get into it. Matt 798. All right, Matt, I think you might be the first Canadian I've had on the show. So, no, actually, I had Solsky on the show. Never mind. So, you're not the first Canadian, but you're probably the nicer of the two Canadians. Probably more like a typical Canadian, because you're drinking beer and you're playing hockey and you're very cordial and nice.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, Solsky's an Ontarian, so they're a little bit meaner. You know, I'm a friendly Atlantic Canadian, so that's easy. Get a little easier from us.
So I'm hoping for some good Canadian charm to go on here. I mean, one of the best moments in Rando, I think, in all of Rando in the last like 6 years that it's been around or whatever, is you winning SGL and cracking beers on the cams, which felt very Canadian.
Why else have a camera if you have to make
right.
crush a few beers on the show? Right? You got to celebrate your win.
Yeah, and you did it. You didn't just like open up a beer. You like shotgunned it, man. It was impressive.
Thank you. It's a lifetime of building skills, you know.
If it wasn't your first time, I could tell.
No, it was first time in a while. Not gonna lie, but certainly have some experience in the past.
Yeah, I've told you this many times. You're like one of my favorite runners in this community. I love the way you play the game. And I like the way you handle yourself. You're not here to like become a partner on Twitch, and you're not here to like whatever. You're just here to have a good time and play the game, and you're really good at it. So I'm excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. The kind words you said about me a few episodes ago, you know, meant a lot. I didn't really know you thought that. Like, you and I know each other a little bit, but I've always had a ton of respect for you as well. So it's kind of cool to be here and have this conversation.
Yeah, man, I really look up to the way you handle yourself and the way you play the game. So I think let's just kind of start in the beginning. Like, where did you find Randomizer?
So the first exposure to Rando was the 2017 Key Sanity Tournament. So that was going on in the winter around November, December, I believe. And so when I was home for Christmas, I took a look at what the requirements were, downloaded an emulator, and I just started kind of playing seeds on my own at night and was just trying to be able to beat the seed. And so by watching the Key Sanity tournament that was going on and by just kind of playing by myself, I was able to kind of learn where all the items were. And I think my first SRL race was on January 1st, 2018. So that was like a week before the AGDQ Andy Christos match.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I had played like one race and then that happened and I was kind of exposed to the community part then. I was like, oh, this is like a real thing. There's hundreds of thousands of people watching this AGDQ right. stream. Yeah. And there's like a whole community around this. And then there was that huge race right after that. Which I played in as well. And that was kind of how I got introduced to everything with the game and the community.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's rewind it even more then. Were you playing video games a lot as a kid? What did you grow up playing?
So I think it was like Christmas 1993. I got a Super Nintendo with the pack-in Super Mario World and A Link to the Past. And
I had
that
both
was
packed in?
No, I got A Link to the Past separately.
I see. I see.
And that was my first exposure to video games at all, I think. Maybe I saw one of my parents' friends had an NES at some point. Mm-hmm. But my parents got me that and I was hooked immediately. I loved A Link to the Past. It was my favorite game. I just played it constantly. I only had two games, so you didn't have too much choice. But I remember, God, it took me forever to beat it because I was so young. But I remember the day that I beat it. I remember going to elementary school. I don't know, it was grade 3 or 4 maybe, and going up to my friends. I was like, boys, I beat A Link to the Past. And they were like, oh my God, we're coming over after school. And so all my friends came over after school and I beat Ganon for them. And it was pretty cool.
That is awesome. That's like how memories are made for sure. So Super Nintendo was your first system. Did you stick with Nintendo as it evolved and you just got older? Or did you move on to other gaming?
Yeah, so I got a GameCube in, I don't know, probably junior high. And so in like high school and college, I didn't do that much gaming. I kind of switched to Xbox for a while and then to PlayStation, although I do have a Switch now, but like I wasn't really into like Smash or any of the competitive Nintendo games. I didn't really play that many video games through my 20s. I was kind of busy. I also played like I played a lot of poker as well. That was kind of where a lot of my focus was. That is kind of gaming adjacent, I guess you would call it. So that's, I played like, you know, a little bit of Call of Duty here and there, but like seeing what competitively, what some of the other people in this community were doing, it was nothing near that. It was like very casual on and off gaming.
So how deep into poker did you get?
Pretty deep. I was playing, I don't know, quite a bit. I tried to make a living doing it, but I just never made enough money to make it worth not continuing my career path.
Sure. Were you doing like, online poker or was it in person poker? How were you playing?
Both, mostly online. Oh, okay. I was never really good enough to call myself like a professional, but I did play a lot. I played a lot of cash games and it was fun. I really loved it. I really loved the strategy aspect. I don't play anymore, but like seeing how that game has evolved into the way people play now, it really blows my mind because we had no idea what we were doing back in the, you know, mid-aughts or whatever, like 2005 to 2010.
Did this come from like the Chris Moneymaker boom? Is that kind of how you found poker or were you trying to go to Vegas or Atlantic City stuff or World Series poker?
Just like watching it on TV, I guess, where I first got exposed to it. And so I kind of got exposed to online poker through like the 2+2 forums and stuff like that and learning about it there and meeting people there. It was just like when you're, you know, 18, 19 and you have an opportunity to make way more money than you would at your job. Like I was making like $6 an hour at my job, right? And I can play like cash games where I have like could win hundreds of dollars at a time. It was, a much more attractive option than, you know, some retail job.
Sure. The problem is like sometimes you don't win anything, right? Like sometimes it just doesn't go your way.
Yeah. And I was never really good enough to like really do anything sustainable. And so when I went back to grad school, that kind of died off and I don't really play anymore.
So you take a little bit of a break to play poker and stuff because it sounds like life in general is just kind of busier. What kind of brought you back into gaming? Was it Link to the Past or was there other stuff pre-randomizer?
So the first thing I really got back into was a PC game. It's The Binding of Isaac. Okay. And that's what got me into Twitch as well. This was around, 2014 or so. And so I kind of discovered Steam then and started gaming a little bit, although I still really wasn't gaming that much. It really wasn't until ALTTP that I really started getting heavily into gaming again. But around that time is when I started watching more Twitch and started kind of entering that world, as you would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it The Binding of Isaac that was that you were playing that game? I don't really know anything. I've heard of the game. I don't really know anything about it. Is it an online game that you play with others or?
No, it's just like a roguelike game. Oh, okay. So it's like a single player. And it was really nothing. I think I only have like 350 hours over, you know, multiple years in that game, which seemed like a lot at the time. But when I look at how much time I put into this game, it's really doesn't compare at all.
It's a blip. Yeah. So what was it about? What was it that drew you to Twitch then?
I just liked watching Twitch. I really liked gaming. I liked the competitive aspect of gaming. I always found it super interesting. And, you know, when you watch Twitch, you can do something else at the same time. And you can like play games while you watch Twitch. You can like work. And so it was just something nice that I would just kind of have on a tablet whenever I was doing other things.
I see. Was there a certain game that you were drawn to on Twitch?
So first I started watching The Binding of Isaac. And then I started watching poker streaming got pretty big As well. I started playing a little bit of poker again once that happened. So I was watching that as well. And then I would just, I was starting to watch like AGDQ and things like that. I played a bit of Rocket League. And so I watched that as well. And then it was just kind of getting into ALTTP. Although, to be fair, the first ALTTP stream I watched was back in 2014. I would watch like speed runs of it here and there, but I didn't really understand what I was watching. I don't think looking back on it now.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really ever getting into it, until Rando, but like I followed Zelna, I think way back in 2014.
But when you're watching those Zelda speed runs or any other game that's being speed ran, you didn't draw you in like to say, hey, let me check this out or try to do some sort of speed runs.
I was always interested in it. I was just not in a place in my life where I could dedicate the time to it. I think I discovered Rando kind of at the perfect time where I was kind of in a place with my career and my personal life where I was kind of settled and I had the time. And when I saw this, I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I have the time to do this. Let's like dive into it.
And so it sounds like you saw it and were like immediately like, let's do this. And so you said you downloaded the emulator and started just trying to figure out how to play the game.
Yeah. And I started like racing immediately. And like, you can even look at my SRL stuff. Like after that, AGDQ race, like I was racing fairly consistently, you know, for the last four years, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're really good at this game. Were you putting up results right away or what did it take you a bit to get, you know, consistent results?
I think it was okay right away. So the first tournament I played was the 512 Swiss, which was in the spring of 2018. And so I went 2-0 and then I faced Aerie, actually, a young green Aerie or PS, which is pretty cool looking back on. And then I lost to him. And then I lost my next two races. And then I was going on my honeymoon. So I just dropped from the tournament at that point. But like, I didn't really know what I was doing. Mind you, none of us really knew what we were doing back then.
Right.
But that was kind of the first exposure to it. And then there was a 2018 fall tournament, right, as well. And so I qualified for groups in that. And so that was the weird six-man groups where you had to play 15 matches. You remember that? Were you in that one?
I was. So I was against Aerie. I was in Aerie and, gosh, who else was in our group? I can't remember, but it was a tough group. Yeah.
So I had an extremely tough group as well. So I had Andy, I had Blaine, I had Killer App, I had McLagging, and I had someone else. I forget their name, but I don't think they play in the community anymore. And this was kind of my first exposure to Andy. Well, not my first exposure, but like when I really got to know who Andy was.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was playing him, right? And the match wasn't restreamed. And like I was brand new to streaming on Twitch. I didn't stream with the mic. I was like just doing this because I had to. And I looked at my viewer count. I had like 140 people watching me. And I was like, oh, God. And I was kind of messing up too. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And like he was Andy back then, right? I had no idea what I was doing. He kicked my ass. So
yeah, totally.
And then, like, actually, it was really getting crushed by Blaine that kind of got me into looking into, like, the speedrunning side of the game more as well. Because after that, I kind of started watching his streams a lot. Mm-hmm. And I really kind of related to him. Like, him and I are, you know, around the same age, around the same stage in life. So, like, I could kind of relate to him. And then watching his speedruns, I was like, oh, well, this guy moves so much better than everyone else that I see playing this game. I should probably try to do what he's doing.
Yeah. That tournament was silly because you had to race, 15 times, even if you were eliminated, basically.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like you had to race.
I was eliminated very quickly. So, I had to do a lot of those races.
Yeah, it was so silly. It was like a silly way to do a tournament. Obviously, the admins have learned since then, but you had all these like crazy modes and you had to do all these races that had no real impact on a lot of what was happening. It was a silly tournament, but
yeah. And that was my strategy in that one. I was like, all these guys are better than me. I'm picking Swordless Inverted every time. And I'm just going to practice the shit out of Hammer Blind. And that was what I tried to do. And it did not work at all.
It did work. So are you, do you feel like you're like pretty inclined to being good at games? Like, because you immediately qualified for, I guess the 512 you just signed up for, but qualifying for that Fall 18 tournament, if you look at a lot of the names that didn't qualify that are like staples of the community now, it wasn't that easy to make that tournament. So do you have like a natural gift towards gaming?
I would say when I was a kid, I was one of the better ones of my friends playing games.
Showing them how to kill Ganon, man. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. It kind of goes both ways. I do feel like I was able to pick up this game pretty quickly. But when I look at where I am now, kind of in relation to the people who I would consider are like my peers in the mm-hmm. game, I think that I am not nearly as talented as a lot of the good speedrunners at this game. I feel like I've had to work quite hard to get the ability that I have, more so mm-hmm. than a lot of people. And mind you, it's easy to say that because you don't see everybody's journey the way you see your own, right?
Right.
But I worked really hard to get good at this game, and I don't think it came as easily to me as it did some of the people who I would consider like my peers.
Sure. So you do the 2018 tournament. Are you finding like your clique, your group in the community? Is it Blaine mostly, or
who you No, like him with? And I, him and I weren't even really friends. I would just like pop into a stream every now and then. So I would say gaming has never been social for me. It took me a long time to kind of get into the social aspect and kind of find a group of friends in this community. It's just when I got home and I wanted to play video games, that was always my time. I'm going to shut the world off. I'm going to turn off my phone. Like if I would go on PlayStation and my friends would be sending me like requests to play games. I'd just go on and peer offline. It's like, if you want to hang out, come over. Like I'm at home. I'm just going to chill. And so, like, I don't know, I'm a pretty social person, but I'm also extremely introverted. And so I like hanging out and socializing with people, but it takes away a lot of energy from me. And I need that time to recharge, and kind of playing video games was always that time for me. And so it really wasn't until fairly recently that I kind of started, kind of after SGL even, like hanging out with people a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when you ended up joining the league, I think it was kind of like, I felt like I kind of was a matchmaker in that process of getting you with people that were closer to or similar, you know, skill sets. Because it always surprised me that you didn't have a team, because it didn't feel like you were a part of like a community, really. Like, I think this is why it's really interesting to hear your story, is because I always wondered why isn't Matt hanging out with more people? But I see now that you're using it as a way of like escaping people almost, right? You're using it as a way to recharge your batteries or whatever.
Yeah. And like over the past, you know, few years, a lot of people haven't been, myself included, doing a lot of socializing with their friends because you can't. And I did kind of after SGL, like starting to grind NMG and stream it and stream with a mic more. Like I kind of met people like Dante and Airy and Shady and Relkin, and kind of became friends with them. And that's kind of the crew that I've kind of fallen into. And then there's like the PUC Championship Discord as well. Like when Ak invited me to that, I kind of started like posting, hey, with you guys a little bit. But other than that, I haven't been, like you said, like you and I, like we've always been cordial, but we don't really know each other that well. And it's kind of mostly because I'm not the most social, like Discord posting person.
Sure. 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 Yeah. You're also not like going into chat and like hanging out and like just chatting away, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm not one of those people either. Like I actually don't like watching the game all that much. You know, I like to pop into people's chats every once in a while and kind of see what's going on, but I don't watch a ton of streams. So it is a little bit harder to be social when you don't feel like, you know, chatting in Twitch chat or Discord or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was it about SGL? That was 2019, right? So you went to SGL. I think you're the first, again, maybe Solsky talked a little bit about SGL, but you were in attendance for that first SGL and only, no, I guess?
I did not go to SGL 2019.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Okay. I wanted to go to that, but it was, it sucks because I had like this work thing and I was like, I could probably get out of this, but I'll just go next year. And then
And then 2020 next, happens.
Yeah, next year didn't happen.
Yeah. Are you planning on going to this year's 2022?
I'm going to do everything in my power to get there. I think I will be there. The fact that I won is I feel very obligated to go. And I want to go, but like my family situation, like I just had a kid, which makes things obviously more challenging.
Sure.
And so I'm doing my best. I think I will be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about your run through SGL. It was that was 2020 or 2021?
2021.
Okay. So that was the SGL CAS boots, right? Like they had their special, it was supposed to be hard mode, like a version of hard mode. Kind of just walk me through your run through that and what you thought about the mode and how you were feeling as you're going through it.
So the mode, I think the mode is great. I think it's a good combination of, especially the health, like the kind of slow burn on health. I kind of like that it had silver arrows as well, because there's a lot of rando specific things you can do with that. I really liked the mode. I thought it was well designed, and I think they're going to keep the same mode for this one, but I don't actually know. And so qualifying, I didn't have the best qualification. I don't exactly remember what my seed was. I did win one of the qualifiers, but I had a couple of bad performances. There's one that was a hover seed, and I'm not the best hoverer, and I really struggled like in the moment with the hover. And so I had a bad performance there. But going in SGL, I was feeling pretty confident. There was just a ladder season that had two casual boots modes. And I did quite well in that. And I was number one rank overall lifetime on the ladder at that point. And I had like a 9-game win streak in ladder casual boots that was the list of names you could easily go through an SGL bracket against, right? Mm-hmm. So I was feeling pretty good coming into it. But like before SGL, I really didn't have great results in tournaments. Like I had some really crushing eliminations from like the 2019 main tournament and the 2021 main tournament, and your two damn teammates kicking my ass in league. and so like I really had not had a really great run in anything. It was really only the ladder and me doing well on that had given me the confidence in being like, okay, this is something with like a big sample size and I'm performing very well in it, and so like I can do this. And so I drew not the best spot in the bracket. I was going to have to get through. I didn't end up having to play Airy, but he was in my, like, you know how there's like little groups of eight in like a 128 man bracket. Mm-hmm. And so first I played Alex Jess, I believe it was like a French player. And then I had to play Hayfield Bay in my next match. And then T-Stew in the round of 64. And that match against T-Stew, that really came down to just a coin flip. We were both looking for the hook shot, and he went into swamp for it, and I went into like some North Dark World checks, like Graveyard Ledge, that we both hadn't checked yet, and that is where the hook shot was. And so just basically just a 50-50 that I won. And then we get into the top 32. I played Thelane in the top 32. That was a pretty close match as well. And then I played Skipsy, who I think has made a bit more of a name for himself now. He's like a 125 NMG runner, good player. And in that race, I hard blast locationed the fire rod on, was it Bumper Ledge? I remember Ack was doing a stream of that race. Were you in the commentary for that?
I think so.
Because it you guys knew where it was. And I like went to Bombo's tablet and I got the cape. And then in there you could see Ack being like, he's going to remember that he never checked Bumper Ledge. And you could see the look on my face. And I was like, oh, I didn't check Bumper Ledge, did I? And I go to hard last location and the look on my face was just like devastation. I was like, oh, we're done. See you later. Yeah. But Skipsy had his own issues in that one. And so then we're going to the winter semifinal. I don't know if you remember the Willer J. Bradley Vortex of Doom drama that happened.
Oh, yeah.
With I was waiting to play the winner of that race. So when all that was going on, I was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, come on. I want to get these matches over with. And like I remember at the end of that race, after Vortex won, I posted in Speed Gaming chat, I was like, I wish I could unwatch this race because of how like ridiculous the ending was.
Sure.
And then the result obviously ended up getting overturned. And so I played Willard in the winner's semifinal, and then I had to play Ack in the winner's final. And that was another really close race. If Ack had just gotten that pod hover, I think he would have beat me. Mm-hmm. And then I played Wayne in the grand finals and kind of got routed the seed a little bit.
Yeah.
And just the order of the order that he found the items just kind of screwed him pretty badly.
Mm-hmm. So tell me how you're feeling when you win this, because this is a cash tournament, right? Like, we talk about the main tournament, we talk about the league, we talk about all this other stuff that happens, cross keys tournament, whatever. You get nothing out of those, right? You get prestige or whatever, you get maybe your name in the game somewhere. This one, you walk away with a couple bucks. How are you feeling? And obviously, you probably don't need the money or whatever, but like, you're not going to say no to, I don't even know how much you won. Like, it was a couple grand or something. How were you feeling in that moment? And you know, what was going on in your head?
Like, yeah, it was awesome because I put so much work into this game and had really, really mediocre results based on how I felt my skill level was.
Mm-hmm.
And to finally have everything all come together like that, I did play quite well. I mean, I can look back on it now and see how much better I've gotten and criticize myself, but I really held it together throughout that whole winner's bracket, right? I didn't lose a game. I didn't make any big execution mistakes the entire tournament. I was like, I finally fucking did it. Like, nobody's guaranteed to win one of these things, right?
Yeah.
There's only one main tournament a year. There's only one league a year. There's only one SGL a year. Maybe you can add the Cross Keys tournament in there as well as like big events. But like, you can look at a lot of the runners who are amazing, better than me, that haven't won one of these things. And it was great. And it like vindicated all the work that I've put into this game. And the money wasn't bad either, right? And when you convert it to Canadian dollars, it was like, I don't know, close to $3,000, which,
oh wow, yeah,
you can't, wasn't too shabby at all. No, exactly. Yeah, not only did I win, I won the one tournament that actually has a meaningful prize, right? Like, totally. I get all the money back that I put into buying Super NTs, the FX Back Pro, even my computer basically was all paid for by that. Mind you, I did give a lot of that money away in gift subs because I did feel kind of guilty being like, why is it me who wins the one thing with?
Really? You feel guilty?
Yeah. A little
that
bit.
Must be because the Canadian nature in your view.
Dude, there's so many great players. And like, and it's just like, you get nothing. Like, Dante wins everything. He gets just nothing. Like, pat on the back. Here you go.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And just to win the one meaningful thing, I don't know.
So you talked about some of the other results in the past. Like, so you feel like you crapped out a bit in tournament settings?
Yeah. So like the 2019 main tournament, I was feeling pretty good going into that. I wasn't quite, you know, one of the top tier runners, but like I certainly felt like I was good enough to make a run. And I played Yagamoth in the round of 64, and I was miles ahead of him. But I needed a sword, and there was no sword in GT, and I finished GT, and it just took me forever to find a damn sword, and he ended up beating me. And so going out with like that really sucked.
Yeah.
And then there was the 2021 main tournament. So I, again, qualify okay, go into groups, 4-0 the group, including 2-0-ing you.
Thank you.
Then you're welcome. So one of my favorite moments was calling you out before our race. Do you remember that?
I don't.
It was a stream on Speed Gaming 4, and I saw that you were in the chat, and you had just eliminated us from league for because it was, what was it, League Season 3, I think?
Yeah, yeah. I think we played each other the final week. It was like
exactly.
The co-op Andamizer or something like that.
And we both had the same record, and we were both fighting for the last playoff spot.
Yeah.
And you guys just shit on us. And in the last race that we had to win, it was me and Fry against Gamma in 1UP. And it was one of those, you know, those co-op seeds where like one person gets way far ahead and they have to make all the decisions. And like, it was me who got way far ahead and I messed up. I did not make the right decisions. And I felt so bad for, cause I was like, Fry's such a nice dude. And at the end of the race, I was like, I'm sorry, man, I fucked up. And he was just like, it's okay. But like, that was the one time I could hear his voice like, yeah, you fucked up.
So you called me out?
Yeah, I will find the video and I will send it to you. And you were in the chat. And I was like, listen, Fear, you don't got your teammates to help you out this time. Like, I'm going to get my revenge for the league.
Nice. And you sure did. You took me.
And so then we get into the round of 64. And I have the 8 seed. And I end up getting Illis, who was like the 50-something seed, which was a horrible matchup. Like, everybody around Illis that I could have gotten was a much easier matchup.
I mean, Illis is really good. Like, you wouldn't consider him, like, that low, right? Like, Illis is a really good runner.
Yeah, and I lose 2-0 to Illis, and the combined time from both seeds and me losing was 36 seconds. So I got Fam Hair sniped twice. And that was, like, kind of the low point of me playing Rando because, like, I had really put a lot of work into it at that time. I got a 125 NMG time, which is, you know, fairly respectable. And I put so much work into it. And like, that was still kind of pandemic here where there wasn't like a lot of stuff I could do. I used to get a lot of my competitive stuff out through playing sports and stuff like that. And I didn't really have that anymore. And so I really struggled with losing that one. And it also, when you watch the rest of the tournament and you see people getting into the top 16, into the top 8, and you're like, man, this guy is just not that good, right? You're like, I can see the things that you're doing wrong. And this is not to talk bad about anybody. People have different priorities with the game. They have different amounts of time. Yeah. But when you see play that you're like, man, come on. And like, I'm getting eliminated twice in a row in the round of 64, and I see this garbage happening in like the top 16 or whatever, it kind of sucks.
Sure. I mean, here's the thing though. We play a randomizer, right? Like it's one thing when you're playing, are you doing NMG or something that doesn't have some, that sort of like randomness to it. But some people just get that lucky streak going and it's like, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah. And there's more than one style to play the game that works as well. Sure. Right. It's not just pure execution. And like you said, small sample size and, but it's just like, this is the only chance you have, right? This is what happens. So that was like a bit of a struggle for me, like the amount of time and like wanting to get good results.
Yeah. So then you come to SGL 20 or the SGL live that you win, and it sort of like validates those feelings, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is like what Wally said, right? Like, Wally's like a cool, calm and collected guy. And he's like, yeah, well, winning does that to you. And like, it kind of does, you know what I mean? And I'm not allowed to complain at all anymore. Cause I won all the money and like, so I can't really ask for anything more. And even in this year's main tournament, I had a pretty damn good run in that as well. And so like the better I got, the more kind of success you have in these tournaments. Like even the AD Keys tournament, which I don't really play, I made the top 16 in that as well. So lately my runs have been obviously much better.
Mm-hmm. Do you attribute it to the time you've spent in NMG?
Yeah, basically. It's partly that I believe I had quite a good play style as well around that time for modes like casual boots. I watched a lot of Bwayne. I watched a decent amount of Gem. And if you watch the way those guys play, I really think that they have such a good level of aggression. The way they route and learning from them, and even a little bit of Gamachu as well. Although it's tough to emulate Gamachu, no matter who you are. But like just watching the way successful people routed and trying to incorporate some of the things that they were doing into my own style. Like, I think I'm not as good of a random player now as I was like back in the fall, just because I was playing so much and I really thought, I think I had like a good style and level of aggression. Maybe I was being slightly too conservative, but like, it was partly that. And the other part of it is like pure execution for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell me a little bit about your style or the style that you've kind of co-opted from those runners that you were talking about? Because, you know, I haven't, on the show, we've never really broken down gameplay, but I think this is really interesting because, I need to learn, and two, I'm just curious as how you perceive your style of running compared to maybe some of the other ones.
It's like you obviously need to skip things. And when we're talking about style, like picking your spots is something that is kind of difficult to do and difficult to explain.
Sure.
But like things like waiting until the mid to late game, right? Being basically semi-thorough throughout. Although I would often do things like skip the Eastern Palace Big Geek Chess or not go to Skull Woods or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like maybe trying to delay some of the tougher decisions like a left side swamp or something until a bit later on when you have a bit more information and you can be a bit more strategic with what you can skip with what you have left. Because if you're like, this is very difficult to explain, but if you're going to swamp missing like 7 items, it's really tough to be aggressive. If you're going to Hera missing like 7 items, it's really tough to be aggressive. So just knowing where you can be aggressive and taking those chances and trying to do it in a way that is going to screw you the least amount is kind of the best way I can explain it.
Right. So if you're one item from go mode, skipping left side swamp feels more akin to what you'd do in that sort of situation.
Yeah. And making plays like going to Skull Woods, go to Mothra, like get an item, just get the hell out of there. Like you're going to waste 3 minutes trying to find your piece of heart in the Skull Woods big chest. Like, right. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So we talked a little bit about NMG, but you kind of became an NMG main almost for a while there. And you still run NMG, I think not as much as you used to, but what made you make the jump into NMG and to kind of talk about your experience through that?
So I'd always kind of had an on and off relationship with NMG. I would play it for a little bit to try and get better, and then I would just mostly play rando. Like coming into the fall of 2021, I would say most of my completed NMG runs were just doing the NMG weekly. But after SGL, like I talked to Ari a little bit and he was like, you should really try to get 124. Like, I think you can do it. And so at that time I had a 125, but it was a 125, 59 and like 50 frames. It was like
sure.
Barely a 125. And yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I had the time, still pandemic things going on. My wife was pregnant, so she was kind of asleep a lot, going to bed early. Yeah. And we weren't really doing anything social, just try to be safe. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. And not only that, was that like I'm gonna stream every single run as well, which I didn't do in the past, and I'm gonna turn my mic on and I'm gonna like actually do it, because I really enjoy watching NMG and I watch a lot of people's grinds to get to some of these times. I really enjoyed watching it and I was like, you know, I want to contribute. I don't care if anybody wants to watch it or whatever, but I just want to contribute something to the NMG community, which I know that sounds kind of weird, but like just like put some content out there because I've consumed so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. I had to learn a lot. Like I really didn't know a lot of the intricacies, and you really kind of need to know what you're doing to get a 124. You can still make a lot of mistakes and get a 124, because people, yeah, I mean, obviously you can get a 122 now. We've seen that.
right.
But when I started grinding, I didn't really realize how little I knew, because I had good movement and good boss fights, but a lot of the nitty gritty stuff I was still doing really wrong. So I really had to kind of break down what I was doing and build a lot of it back up again. And like I said before, I'm not the most like naturally gifted at this game. I watched guys like Relkin, who is probably going to be the next 124, and it comes to him, what it looks like to me, very easily. I don't know what he's doing offline, but I hang out and do a lot of runs with him, and seeing how fast he's improving, I was like, man, this guy's getting better much more quickly than I did. Like, so it started kind of slow, but once it got around March, I was like really starting to get into it. I think from March till the beginning of June, I streamed about 400 hours.
Oh, Oh, wow.
And obviously part of that was the 80 Keys tournament and part of that was the main tournament, but like 300 hours was NMG. And that was just getting from 125.59 to 124.58. And it was a lot of work. And I heard from people before that have like 123s and they would tell me 124 is the hardest hurdle because it's where you have to kind of learn the most about the speed run. If you look at the difference between like a 124 and a 123 runner, a lot of it is the same strats. They're just doing it better. Like half of the path from 124 to 123 seems like get better execution. The other half is close the gap between your PB and your sum of best. But to get from 125 to 124, for me at least, it was really learn how to actually do these rooms. And there was the other aspect of it was I was having a baby. And it was kind of, the baby was coming in June and the grind stopped in June. And it was like, I'm not going to fail. So like this must happen. And so I will do what it takes to get it done. And thankfully I did get it done. And it was as hard as people said to me. And you can see, if you look at the speedrun.com leaderboard, there's a lot of people in like the 124 5X. And a lot of people to get to 124 kind of overshoot the skill level because of like the mental hurdle of like being on pace. And you're like, okay, don't fuck it up. This is the run. You got to do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And like even the run that I got it, like I dropped into Ganon at like 123.12. So I needed a 147 Ganon. And if you don't run NMG, a 147 Ganon is very hard to get. Like the best Ganon you can get is like a 137. So you, like... You need
just
like
no warps.
You need like two warps or less for kind of a normal-ish RNG. And like I got two warps and I was like, okay, this probably isn't going to happen. But the the setup for phase four allowed me to get a double spin into triples. And I was like, oh, okay, this can happen. And I missed a spin and I thought I missed it from that, but it was still just enough. And nice. Even like... When you talk about like overshooting, like my PB and NMG is not that good for I think what I'm capable of now. But I had the kid and I've kind of put it aside a little bit, although I've kind of started playing again, doing a runs here and there just because I don't really know what else to do with my time. I said I was going to stop, but it's hard to stop because every time you get to a milestone, especially when you put a lot of pressure on yourself. Yeah. You usually overshoot the skill level, right? And so like I can get a 124 4X or 3X and that would be pretty cool. But I'm still kind of trying to figure out what I want out of this game still. And I guess we'll kind of see what the future holds.
It does sound like you're hard on yourself too as well. I mean, 124, what do you have right now? 124, 5?
58, yeah.
58, yeah. So just under. I mean, that's not easy to get. And you put all that grind into it and you put, you know, time and effort and stuff. It's not easy and it is good. Like that's the thing is
yeah,
you
see I mean, everyone else. That many. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, yeah, there's not that many and it's hard. It's really hard. Like I've just started kind of getting into NMG and I can see the addiction. Like I have no desire to get like anything lower than like a 129, honestly, like just because I don't want to put that sort of grind into it and like figure out rooms and figure out how to do that kind of stuff. I just kind of like want to have a little bit of fun with it.
You kind of have to like enjoy the process, right? You like just finding something and improving and enjoying like the improvement process is like when you start putting pressure on yourself, it starts to kind of suck. And I think another one of the reasons why it's easier for me to play now is because there's no pressure on me to achieve any time. It's just doing it for fun. But like you really got to enjoy the process of getting better. Otherwise, you're not going to enjoy NMG.
Does that translate to Rando as well? Because it feels like, well, kind of where I'm at is like I'm frustrated because my results don't necessarily match what I'm putting into it. You know what I mean? Like in a very similar way to NMG, but of course, then there's the randomness of like, you just didn't find the items faster than your opponent. Do you agree or what do you think?
Yeah, because, well, when you lose a rando match, you can look at it a few different ways, right? Like I get tilted, like you like to talk about tilt. I certainly get tilted at times when I lose rando matches, but like you can look at like what your opponent did and the variance in the game, and you can blame it on that. And sometimes that is the reason why you lose. But you can also look at what you did and try to improve your own game. And that's if you, that's kind of the same attitude. Because in NMG, most of the things are your fault. And in Rando, there's usually always something that you could have done better that potentially would have changed the outcome of the race. Now, like, I see you like to play a lot of cross keys. I'm not the best cross keys player. It feels like single decisions make massive differences in cross keys more so than other modes. Mm-hmm. So I think kind of from that perspective, you could, it'd be a little bit easier to blame the game, and you might be right about that. But like, I don't know. I always try to look at like what I can do better, and it's not the easiest thing to do. Like, like when I talked about losing in the 2021 main tournament in the round of 64, like, man, that was shitty. Like, I felt terrible. Like why am I wasting my time with this? And but like, I always try to turn it into something positive, and that's obviously not the easy thing to do, but it's kind of the only approach that I had that worked.
What about your experiences in the league? How have those gone? Because those are different, right? Like, everything that you're talking about is all you. It's the grind you put in or the time that you put in. But when you have a team, you know, things are a little bit different. You mentioned a little bit with that game, or the last final game of the season against a superior opponent. And losing,
I see how it is. Okay. Notice that you were in an ear of the races.
That's what I'm saying. I was not a part of it, so I could say that. So what was your experience with the league, and how is that same or different, or just what are your thoughts there?
So the league is like a kind of a different beast. So league is never something that I really put a ton of myself into, I don't think. I like my teammates and we had a good time, but I really enjoyed like the solo process of this game a bit more. I'm not the biggest co-op person. I feel like this is the complete opposite of what everybody else has said to you on this podcast. But I just joined the league to be able to get more competition. And like you said, it was you that messaged me and you're like, you should make a team. Like, I didn't put my team together. And then like when I put together, I messaged Salty Fry, who I'd never really talked to before, but I always really respected. And he joined, and he's a cool dude. And, you know, we got to know each other a little bit. And then Demo as well, who's a super nice guy. And like, we had a good time, but I don't know. I never really felt like I put everything I had into league. It's just, it's hard, man. The time commitment to like practice and like do co-op stuff, it was just a little bit too much for me, I think. And I just kind of wanted to focus on the more individual side. And we did okay. Like, we had two good seasons where we were very much in playoff contention, and we would just lose to fucking Gamachu and then it was over. But
I still surprises me that you guys never made the playoffs. Like,
it was surprises you, the team that eliminated us twice. I feel like you could have made us made the playoff very easily, but
I mean, we're just chumps. You should have put us down. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it's a different beast, and it sounds like, and this is one of the reasons why I've kind of looked up to you and respected you. It feels like when you do something, you don't half-ass it, right? Like, you put all of yourself into it. And I think that's where the tilt can come from, right? Is you put so much time and energy and effort into it. You're not just like, it doesn't sound like you're doing Rando just because you want to do multi-world. You know what I mean? You're not doing multi-world. You're not doing like the casual stuff. You're doing it because of competition, right?
Yeah, I like to compete. And that is what I want to get out of this. And that's what I enjoy. And so like, having an aspect of it, which was league, which like, I'm obviously doing my best and I want to compete, but it's not something I'm like putting everything into. It just kind of, you know, it was fun and I liked it, but
yeah,
we are not coming back for season 5, which is kind of sad. But I think both me and Fry had stuff with our life that I think is going to prevent that from happening. But I still enjoyed it. I love what you've done. I think it's probably the best thing that's happened to this community. But I mean, it just wasn't exactly my thing.
Sure. I don't know if it's the, I don't know if I agree. I think the latter is probably the best thing that's happened to this community. But I will gladly accept your your words. So as far as like the social aspect, you ended up joining the council, right?
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Because that doesn't seem like something that would really be in your purview, honestly. Like, if I was to say, like, oh, where do you see Matt going? Like, oh, the council.
So
are you still on the council?
Yeah, I've been on for four terms now. I applied to the first one, but I didn't get picked because nobody really knew who I was. And I think I applied for the second one too, but again, nobody really knew who I was. So I didn't get picked for that either. So like, when, do you remember back in, what was it, like the summer of 2020, when like you and me and Ack and P-Flan were played Among Us and just like hang out?
Yeah.
And from that, I got to know P-Flan a little bit, who was on the council. And when he was leaving, he sent me a DM and he was like, listen, like, because we got to know each other a little bit. We talked a little bit. And he was like, you should really apply for the council. And I was like, okay, fine. I will apply. And then I got on and I'd always kind of wanted to be on it because, you know what? I feel like everybody from the council was like, I don't like the whole cheating aspect of it, whatever. Like, no, I like hunting down cheaters. I enjoy it. Yeah. I like when somebody, when we get that ping from that council inquirer and he's like, I got a VOD for you. I'm like, excellent. Let's deep dive this. Like, I like the aspect of watching somebody's gameplay and using like this wealth of knowledge I have gained from all my years playing the game and taking that and trying to figure out whether or not somebody's playing honestly. Like a lot of the rules and glitches stuff, I'm not as interested in, but I do enjoy, I feel like I'm the only one, but I do enjoy hunting down cheaters.
Like, you're the first person that I've heard say like, oh, you know what? I like the cheaters aspect, which you've had to do a couple of times on your terms, right?
Yeah, there's been some real interesting, you know, the Scarlet investigation was obviously really interesting. I don't think I'm supposed to talk too much about like what exactly goes on, but certainly I mean, there has been.
What's the worst that's going to happen, right? They kick you off the council.
Yeah, Dante, I'll get a message from Dante when this thing comes out. Like, I'm sorry. You've been banned.
I don't know. So when you joined the council, was it that like you want to help out the community in that sort of way? Was that kind of your goal?
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to do something to contribute because I felt like I hadn't, like I do like some commentary here and there, but that's not really that much. I'd never done any admin work and like I joined all these tournaments, right? And there's all these people working so hard on them. And I was like, I do want to give something back and this is something that I might enjoy doing and is a way that I can kind of contribute in like some admin type role and, you know, give a little bit back to the community.
Mm-hmm. Have you enjoyed your time on the council? I mean, I'm guessing yes, since you're still on it after four terms.
Yeah, I like it. I think we've had really good groups. I think because you were on it near the beginning, I think some of the groups near the beginning had some issues that no longer exist on the council. I feel like the groups of people that I've been with, it's all been very cordial. Like not everybody always agrees on everything, but you know, there's not a lot of inside council drama happening. Yeah. Like I hear about there may have been in the past.
Yeah, I think that first season, especially or the first term or whatever, had a lot of strong personalities. And you when you get a lot of strong personalities in the room, they kind of tend to clash a little bit. And everyone had a hard time agreeing on what the council even should be and all that kind of
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You guys had to like decide on everything, right? We had a nice, or at least when I joined, there was a nice framework to work on as well.
P-Train was a big part of that. Of putting together like the bylaws and all that crap.
Yeah, he's back. So he's like the admin legal master. So maybe we'll see some more of that happening.
Have you wanted to move into any more administrative moderator roles or head up your own tournaments or do anything like that? Or you just do like your place in the tournament and in the scene?
I think I'm good where I'm at. If somebody asks me to do it, I might do it. But like when you started the league, I was like, wow, I really respect that. I don't think I have that in me to actually try to organize something of that magnitude. I don't even know if you realize how big that would have become when it,
when it you was started 16 it. Teams, just a bunch of buds, you know, like it was way different. And no idea.
But the whole admin side stuff. I mean, if somebody asked me to do it, I would do it. But I don't see myself like trying to become like a comm mod or league mod, or I'm not even in the league. So, or like a main tournament admin or something like that. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you think the status of the game is, as far as like, where do you think we're at as a community? Are we in a good spot? Is it growing? Do you think things are going in the right direction?
It's hard to tell. Like, you think that it's peaked, but then it's just, I feel like Go Mode is doing so much to bring new people in. And I think like there's a lot of the Twitch audience, I think, is growing a little bit. And that's really bringing a lot of people into this game with me. I have never talked about this game to anybody in my personal life. Nobody, none of my friends, none of my family know I won SGL. I just try to keep it completely separate. Well, I'm like, dude, I'm a 35-year-old dad. I'm not like, you know what I mean? I spend 100 hours a month playing this video, like a 30-year-old video game. But like, but people have found me in my personal life just through like speed gaming streams, or like Racing Andy when he's streaming his side of it.
Yeah.
And it kind of blows my mind, right? That like friends from my childhood would like, a buddy from my childhood just like a couple months ago sent me this. He's like, "Is this you?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's me." He's like, "Holy shit, I watch Andy. Like, this is so cool." And I was like, "Yeah, here's me winning Speed Gaming Live." He's like, "Holy shit, you won." Like, and it's, it is pretty cool. So I do think it's growing. It's really hard to judge because we don't have like, remember when we used to have like weekly and daily races, and that was the main form of competition. You would see how many people entered those. But now there's the ladder, and there's like seven races a day, and you don't really count how many people are in it. So it's really hard to tell. I think it's in quite a good spot, but it's, but when you look back on like back in 2018, we used to have 120 people in the Sunday weekly. Like, are we above that? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It is. And it's always like influx, outflux, right? There's people come in, there's people go in. You know, you could probably list off a litany of names from 2018 that we used to play with that don't play anymore, right? But then there's a whole bunch of new runners and things like that. Gosh, we're already at an hour. Let me ask you a couple more questions, and then we'll wrap this up and get back to taking care of your baby.
Far away.
Some guest questions in the Discord. So when was the moment that you said, or have you had this moment, and I'm sure you have because you know that you are, I'm really actually good at this game?
I think when I won my ladder season was when I realized that. As again, like, it was December 2020. It was, again, I'd like never won anything. The ladder was kind of new, right? And I was like, I'm going to try and win one of these overall ladder seasons. Mm-hmm. And I remember it really came down to the wire, and Andy was trying to win as well. And he was hunting my ass down, and he almost caught me. And I was able to hold him off thanks to, I believe it was Ravis beating him in a reduced crystal seed, which was fantastic for me. But I think, exactly. So it's to Ravis. Nice guy. And at that point I was like, okay, like, this is, you know, something. I'm playing one-on-one against, you know, everybody's highly ranked, and I was able to win this ladder season. I think now I can call myself good at the game.
You've kind of answered this a little bit, but who are some of the folks you look up to in the community and why?
Yeah, I think like Bwayne, probably. That's kind of who I started watching a lot after he smoked me in the 2018 main tournament. Mind you, I was able to get my revenge 3 years later when it really mattered in the SGL finals. But that's someone who I always, you know, kind of looked up to. I'm trying to think who else. I would say Airy in terms of NMG, and I didn't really watch Airy a ton until, I think, you know, maybe in the last year, but he really kind of encouraged me to grind NMG more, and we've done runs together and voice call, and we've become friends. He's just such a good dude, and he's just so damn good at the game, and he's such like a, like, as like, when he was the world record holder, he was such like a great ambassador for like the speed run. Like, and I was, dude, when he got that, dude, I shed a tear. I was so happy for him. So I would say like Airy as well. And there's guys like Zelga who I've watched a lot, as well. Like, people who were really good when I started and who kind of have continued to be good. And a lot of these people have now like become like my peers, which is pretty cool. And there were people that I looked up to in the beginning, and now, you know, I'll just pop in the stream and like say what's up. Like Boyan will pop in my stream and be like, hey, how's your kid doing? And like, so I guess those would be the names for the most part.
Is there anyone you've wanted to race yet but haven't gotten to?
Gamachu. I've never 1v1 race Gamma. It was only ever been in co-op.
Oh, wow.
That's, I don't know how quite how that happened. I was kind of going down the list of people. For the longest time, it was Airy, and then I ended up racing him in this year's main tournament. Although I did race him in that 512, so if that doesn't count. We were noobs back then. Mm-hmm. But I think like basically everybody else who I would ever kind of want to race 1v1, I have.
Yeah, I mean, you've been around for so long that you've done, you know, a million races. So what's your saltiest moment in Rando?
Probably losing to Illis by 5 seconds to get eliminated from the 2021 main tournament. Because, like, you know, the fanfare starts and then you're like just before the door, like the door opens. And like the game one was kind of ridiculous the way I lost that one, and to have lose by 5 seconds when it was like this is going to be the year where I do something, and it's just like nope, back to square one again. That was probably the lowest moment for me. But I also got my revenge on Illis in this year's main tournament, so
comes back. All right, before we get to the tilt question that I ask everyone, I'm going to ask you what mode should be ran this week on the 216 weekly.
Ooh, SGL casual boots.
All right. 216 weekly this week will be SGL casual boots. All right. So the tilt question, you've heard me ask it to everyone. How do you handle tilt? What's your advice for handling tilt? Or do you even have a way of handling tilt? Do you just let it be?
So I have an emote in my stream. This is something that Danny mentioned in his episode. It's the Russell Jimmy's gorilla. And it just says, there is no need to be upset. And that's kind of how I handle tilt. When I start getting tilted, on stream now, somebody will post that in there and I will be like, you know what? You're right. There is no need to be upset. You know, we're just playing video games, trying to have fun. But like, you shouldn't feel bad about getting tilted. Like you have a hobby that you're very passionate about. I know, Fear, you were kind of saying like you wanted to seek therapy and you were embarrassed about it, but like, you shouldn't be embarrassed about it. You should be grateful that you have something that you're passionate about and that you want to be competitive in. And of course you want to be good. And when the results don't go your way, then getting upset is fine. Just so long as you either try to turn it into something positive and like, how can I use this to get better? Or you have a way to not let it affect your personal life.
Yeah.
Getting tilted, there's nothing wrong with getting tilted. There's nothing wrong with being passionate about the game, but figuring out how to handle it is something that I think we've all struggled with. Something that I've struggled with in other aspects of my life. I talked about playing poker as well. You know, tilt is a very real thing in that, especially when your rent is on the line. So like, I've kind of been able to get used to some of the mental game aspects through that. And I've been able to bring some of that into, I hate the game style comparisons of poker to Rando. I don't think they're that comparable, but the mental game aspect of it, I think you can take a lot.
Mm. You don't compare Rando to poker? How come?
No, I think they're very different. Poker is a game of information and like information about your opponent. And in Rando, you have no information about your opponent. And I think that's kind of the crux of why the two games are very different. There are concepts that need to be applied to both games. Things like variance is a thing in both games. But like, dude, the skill edge in Rando is so much higher than it is in poker that I think there's better comparisons.
Yeah. Recently on the show, I talk about understanding, like originally thinking that my question about tilt was, how do I handle losing, really? Honestly, like that's kind of the question is like, how do I be okay with losing? And I think it's okay to be upset, right? Like it's okay to be pissed off that you lost. It's how you handle yourself through that, I think, is the real question.
Yeah.
How
do you, if you really want to talk about tilt, is for me, tilting is something that happens mid seed, not necessarily after the fact, right? Like you can get upset after the fact, but like being able to keep your composure when things are not going your way is something that I struggle with a lot. And like, you can go down the rabbit hole of like, oh no, this didn't go well. I better change my style. And like, that is tilt. And that is what's hurting your results.
Yes. Yep. In my mind, everyone God routes against me. In my mind, my opponent did everything right. right? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I should have gotten here first. I bet my opponent did, and now I got to do this because I'm sure my opponent did it. And then you watch back and like, no, you actually got it first or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you take yourself out of the game just by letting the game tilt you in a way that it doesn't need to.
Yeah, and you're looking back on it with so much more information than anyone would ever have as they're playing the seed. And it's just like, oh, he did this, he did this. But no, he's doing the same dumb shit you're doing.
Totally. And NMG is amplified even more, right? Like, you have a timer that tells you exactly how much.
Immediate feedback.
Yeah, and it tells you, like, oh, you fucked this up, man. How do you take that and move past it and just keep on keeping on, right?
Yeah, and NMG is like, the whole run is just such a tightrope, especially the better you get. And like, if you make a mistake and being able to recover from it is not easy. It's part of the reason why racing NMG is so much different than PB attempts in NMG.
Yeah, right. Because you actually are going against someone else. The timer doesn't necessarily matter as much when you're going against someone. Thanks so much for coming on the show and doing this. And, you know, like you mentioned, we've known each other for, gosh, 4 years at least now, but have never really had a chance to just bullshit, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hear your story and stuff. So I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and do this.
No, man, it's my pleasure. I love the pod. I've listened to every episode, and you're just contributing another great thing to this community. So I'm thankful for that.
I loved having Matt on the show. I love to have his perspective because it's so, like, I don't know, competitive. And I love that competitive edge. I'm not at his level, but I want to be. And I think that's kind of one of the reasons why I look up to him. He's got that competitive edge. He's like really good. I like the way he handles himself. I like the competitiveness that he has. And he's not a dick about it. You know, he's really good and not a dick. I'm always a fan of people that are like that. So huge shout outs to Matt for coming on the show today. I really, really appreciated him being here. All right, so we got the 216 weekly with the mode chosen by Matt. It's the SGL Kaz Boots mode. We'll be running that Saturday, noon Eastern, as always, restreamed over on my channel, twitch.tv/fearagent_. So anyone can join the 216 weekly. That's available to everyone. Thursday, we'll be back with Matt Cap. Matt Cap is someone that I didn't really know that well going into the interview. Really interesting dude, has a lot to say, and it was really great to hear his story. So you're going to want to check that one out. That's going to be this Thursday. Going to be wrapping up season 2 here in the next month. Not sure what season 3 is going to look like. I know I announced all the guests for season 2 at the end of season 1. Don't think I'm going to do that for season 3. Honestly, I'm not sure how I'm going to approach season 3. A lot of people I want to talk to. But yeah, we're hitting that back half of season 2 and should be a good time. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast. Apple Podcast, Spotify. If you could leave a review on Apple Podcast, it would really help out the show. Really appreciate that. 216pod.com has all the links you need. You can join our Discord there. And I really appreciate everyone that listens to the show. It really does mean a lot. Hope you're enjoying it. Love to hear your feedback. See you Thursday.